on Circular Stories, the focus is on social entrepreneurship, and we'll talk to an entrepreneur who helps other entrepreneurs take their ideas for products that benefit society from concept to commercialization. Stay tuned.
Welcome today to Circular Stories. We're speaking today with Wesley Okeke, who is the founder and CEO of Fruition Technology Labs. And Fruition is an incubator that focuses on social entrepreneurship. Welcome to the show, Wes.
Thank you, Rosalyn. Definitely appreciate it.
Well, good. So talk a little bit about Fruition Technology Labs. You are the founder, of course, and, you know, just give us an overview of what you guys are involved in.
So Fruition, and thank you again, Fruition, we started about 3 years ago. We look for entrepreneurs and startup companies that have a passion or a desire and a focus for social or civic impact in their community or globally. And what we do is we help them take it from the concept stage, so the idea stage, as I call it. I call these men and women typically idea generators. And we walk them through a process, which I call the five steps to fruition. And they go from unlock, which is just looking at the idea and validating it, and then explore, where you do all the research behind the product or the business. And then the build stage, which actually, or the plan stage, where you put together the plan on what it's going to look like, and then the build. And then obviously the exciting part is the launch. And we bring in different men and women to help collaborate and mentor the starting of your business.
Awesome. So we were talking about projects for social good. Kind of give your definition of what a social good project is.
So, social good project is a business or a product that is going to improve the lives of the community, men and women, children. In some cases, it drastically and dramatically improves their lives. It's more than just having a cool service or a cool product, but it's something that is going to improve their lives, make their lives a lot better. And so that is our core focus.
Well, you know, when you talk about having cool products, you know, today the focus is on innovation, right? Mm-hmm. How does that manifest in a social good project? You know, it's one thing to, like you said, to have a cool product, but how does that manifest itself? How does innovation manifest itself when it comes to social good?
So I think you look at the technology, if it is a technology, and you look at how it could benefit people. So, for example, I'm originally from West Africa, and I've been back to our city multiple times, but I hadn't been back to our village in about 20-something years. And I go in, and I'm driving in, and the roads are still as bad, actually worse. And I was excited because I'm a tech person. My background's electrical engineering.
Right.
Engineering. And so I love technology. And in 25 years, I hadn't been to the village, and I see cell phones and satellite dishes and all this cool stuff. And after being there for 3 nights, I realized that clean water, the access to clean water had not changed. Electricity had gotten worse. Medical resources had not gotten any better, as well as education. And it really hit me, and in a way convicted me. I says, wow, all these years I've had such a passion for technology, and to see it being used but not really helping their lives. And not that cell phones don't help, but it could be utilized. That whole technology could be utilized to actually improve the life of a person. of a family, of a whole neighborhood. And so that is how I view innovation being used for social good.
Right. So let's back up to the founding of Fruition. You said it was about 3 years ago. What mm-hmm. was it? What was the inspiration? What was the epiphany, shall I ask?
That's a good question. Part of it was a good part of it was the trip back to the village. And then I had worked for two companies for about 15 years where I did business development, marketing and sales. And that was nationwide. So I was in Europe actually every year, Japan, Canada, U.S. And I was on the project management team as well, product development team. And I realized that coming out with a new product and then finding and educating the market was very, very difficult. And you really had to do a lot of research. Plus, during that time, I had met a lot of entrepreneurs. I had began to have an interest in startups. And I realized, wow, this is a growing problem, that 20% by Kauffman and Kauffman Foundation, 20% of companies that start normally fail within the first 5 years. 20% of companies actually succeed within the first 5 years.
And, okay.
And having some of that experience in product development, and I actually had a business when I was much younger, early 20s, I realized, wow, this is kind of disappointing for an entrepreneur to have a dream that they're very passionate about and they want to bring to fruition, and they only have a 20% chance of success. And so looking at that, looking at my background and the passion I have for social good, I decided, wow, I need to put together an incubator that doesn't rush people through, but really builds them and builds their idea, builds their character, builds their brand and their message and their mission, so that they have a higher chance of being successful.
And it's interesting that you say that about building your mission, having that patience to stay focused on that mission. Because in many cases, you know, that mission might have a tendency to get clouded, right? To get, you know, I don't know, maybe pushed to the background in haste to build a company.
Yes, that happens quite frequently. Entrepreneurs come in, or even they get started, they have a great mission in mind, and several things get in the way, and they lose sight of the mission. It could be financial problems. It could be the team. It could be just different obstacles. And I always, when we start with anyone, we always go back and look at their mission. We actually spend a lot of time with their mission and do they believe in it? Because it really builds the foundation to be strong, to persevere, and actually to be competitive and to know who to bring on your team. If the people that you want to be part of your team align with your mission, then there's a greater chance of success. And so that mission, that is the key component of starting, especially in the social good and civic good industry.
So full disclosure, I have sure. done some work with Fruition. How do you vet the entrepreneurs that you work with?
So the first thing I normally do is I try to get an idea on why they want to do it. This is as we begin talking about their mission. So some entrepreneurs want to become an entrepreneur because it sounds great, which I don't think is always the best idea. Some want to become an entrepreneur or create a startup because they want to make a lot of money, which is not also always a great idea. Not that it's not a bad idea, but it's not the best idea to build on. Some want to become entrepreneurs because they just don't want to work for anybody. Again, that's not necessarily the best thing. I hear that a lot.
I'm a bad employee.
I'll
just start my own company.
Yeah. And then some want to start their business because it's a great idea. And there are a ton of great ideas out there but it doesn't necessarily, it's not necessarily what is going to drive you to success. And so we sit down with the entrepreneur and find out the reasons why. And normally, when there's a mission, there's a story behind it. And if they understand their mission and it's clear to them, and they have the character behind it and the commitment behind it, then and they're willing to invest their own time and money in their idea, not just throw it over to somebody else to help them build it, then those are the areas and the ways we vet an entrepreneur. Because it will get hard. Every successful business goes through some major, major down, depressing times. And what I see, the men and women that are mission-focused normally do well. They come out of it. Those that didn't want to work for somebody, wanted to make a lot of money, thought it was a great idea, or just because it was cool to start a business, those are the ones that either turn direction of their company or lose sight of their mission and can quickly disappear.
Right. So, you know, you hear a lot about social entrepreneurship these days.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is the outlook for entrepreneurship that focuses on social good? And what are you seeing from just young people and people in general when it comes to focusing on this type of entrepreneurship?
I guess the encouraging thing is I'm seeing more and more young people jump into this bandwagon, into this mission, so to speak, when it comes to social entrepreneurship. They have a passion. Now, it is different. The challenge there is when you hear social entrepreneurship or social impact, a lot of investors or people that may fund you money think of humanitarian. You're going to be a nonprofit.
Right. So talk about that and the distinguishment between that and social entrepreneurship. So between nonprofits and, you know, social entrepreneurship.
Sure. So the nonprofit entity, obviously, there's a lot of guidelines and restrictions legally and bound by the IRS. But when you think of a nonprofit, obviously that word nonprofit, you're not really to make any profit, is not necessarily the best route to take if you really want to make a global impact. I'm not saying that it's a bad way, it's a wrong way to take, but you really got to clearly and thoroughly investigate being a nonprofit or a for-profit entity. But social good and social entrepreneurship, what I have seen is it runs a lot better in some areas, especially in the technology front, when it is a for-profit entity. And not that you're looking to make a lot of money, but you need to really, it helps you strategize on how to generate revenue, even at the same time trying to make an impact to the world. And it doesn't mean third world only. A lot of people have come in and have met with us and think that Fruition is solely focused on third world countries or countries that are underdeveloped. And no, we start, all our projects typically start first world, second world, and at the same time, we're looking at third world countries. So we're looking at a huge, a global impact. How are we going to benefit people in the first world and at the same time benefit people in the third world? And I think having that mindset really helps you become more strategic. It helps you become competitive. It helps you actually generate revenue. And that's the mindset that we are constantly trying to train people that come in regarding social entrepreneurship. It doesn't mean you need to set up as a nonprofit and then run around begging for money, which ends up happening with a lot of nonprofits every year. And they're not able to focus on their mission because they're spending so much time raising money.
I see.
Yeah.
So do you have companies or I guess you say entrepreneurs who come in with an idea and you end up deciding that maybe it's better to approach it as a nonprofit versus as a for-profit company?
Yes, there's probably only been one, and typically it had to do with more of a service. Right? And so if you're providing a service and it is small scale, so if it's just going to benefit your city or your community, your immediate surroundings, there's a great need, and there's a lot of grants out there or funding options out there from the government to help you sustain yourself, then that is probably a good route to take. If you're trying to make a global impact, and unless it's an innovative product that you know a lot of these organizations that will take and buy your product and implement it or give it to countries that need it, that's another reason why to be a non-profit. But outside of those two opportunities regarding local funding or you're working with an NGO to help you distribute your product, outside of those two, I ask them to stick to being a for-profit.
Right. Yeah. You know, you mentioned the word impact. I don't think that people realize how impactful, you know, very successful social good businesses can be.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about that.
So this is good. There's a project we're working right on right now regarding technology. There's several. One has to do with pregnant women. One has to do with education. One has to do with injuries. Several have to do with the elderly. I think one of the projects you worked on had to do with the elderly, which is a huge, huge industry. But outside of the industry just being huge, there's a huge need, which mainstream companies will at times avoid. This is the cool thing about social entrepreneurship. You're motivated more by a mission and an impact. You want to see the life of some man or woman or child change. And you're looking at that first, and then you're looking at the revenue being generated from it. A lot of bigger companies will look at the revenue generated first and then look at the people it impacts second.
Right.
And this is the incredible thing about social entrepreneurs, because they can honestly be very strategic since they're focusing on the person. And they will end up finding markets that will actually be successful. They may not be the $1 billion because they're not looking to be a $1 billion company. They're looking to be maybe a company that makes a specific impact, and they end up being a several million-dollar company or a $100 million company, and not a billion-dollar company. And they're able to make a huge impact because they're looking for things that mainstream companies don't tend to look at or overlook, because that's not their focus. Their focus is in change individuals' lives. I think a lot of companies start out that way, but then they lose sight of their mission and why they started, and it becomes how can we generate more revenue?
Right, and to me that would seem like a very, very easy trap to fall into.
Yes. It is.
Well, mm-hmm. So you were talking a little bit about investment, you know, and to get many of these projects off the ground and to achieve the scale and impact that you talk about, it requires some investment. So talk a little bit about the prospects for investment or outside investment. And, you know, are there venture capitalists or other investors who, you know, see the value in this? And where is that going just in general?
So, this has always been a challenge for met with an angel network group, and the director of the group said, "Hey, Wes, whatever you do, and if you bring any of your entrepreneurs in, make sure they don't mention the word social impact at all. Just keep it out of anything they do in their pitches, because the minute investors hear social impact, they immediately frown." And so there is that challenge just from that term. It doesn't mean that social impact can't generate profits and return for investors. It's just that's just the stigma that it has currently. So the good thing is, though, there are several investor groups that are popping up. We work with one called Swan right now out in Austin. And these guys are strictly focused on social impact businesses to invest in. And there's several others that are popping up. I would say what we do within Fruition with the entrepreneurs, we help them put together a budget and a plan. Because this is a field that at times lacks investment or willing investors, readily in a great number, there's a lot of bootstrapping that is necessary. And so what we help them spend a lot less money by providing a team that they don't have to pay for to help them with the development of their business.
Right. You know, and it would seem that, you know, the amount of bootstrapping, as you say, or that is, you know, using your own money or getting input from your friends and family, it would seem that you would have to be so focused on the mission in order to endure just the amount of personal investment and time investment in the first place.
Yes, you would. You have to be extremely resourceful, but it is very, very doable. I tell people that want to do this, if they're driven by this mission to make a social impact, I says you need to kind of put the way of life on hold, in the sense of having all the luxuries and comforts. I always tell them, are you willing to put these comforts aside in order to make a greater impact? Because it's going to be necessary. I see that a lot in generally with entrepreneurs. They want to run their business, but they're not willing to sacrifice it. Being a good entrepreneur and just looking at a lot of successful large companies in our world today, a lot of those men and women sacrificed a lot. And I don't mean important things like family, but they sacrificed a lot of comforts of life,
right,
in order to be successful years down the road. And I think that is not just for social entrepreneurs, though particularly social entrepreneurs, you definitely need to look at that. I think it's for any entrepreneur that is starting out. They need to be willing to sacrifice.
Right. Well, you know, hopefully as these type of companies become more and more prevalent, and especially with young people paying attention to this kind of entrepreneurship or paying attention to these type of businesses, you know, that kind of investment or that kind of social good investing will become more the norm, you know, rather than the exception.
Yes, I believe it will. I think as we see more and more social impact companies growing and making a difference that are for profit, we're going to see a lot more investors investing. In fact, there's another group that I spoke to, actually two other groups. I spoke to one this morning that's focused on that as well. And they're angel investors. And there's another company that I spoke to a month ago. So it's exciting to see this happening amongst the investor community. They're there. They're looking for opportunities to make an impact in the world themselves, and so they're looking for those types of companies.
Okay. So now, from the education side, you know, I teach in a college of business, and one of the things that I am starting to see is that young people are interested in this type of entrepreneurship and these type of businesses. So what do you think that we as people on the education side should be doing to prepare students for this type of leadership and this type of entrepreneurship?
In regards to social entrepreneurship?
Yeah.
Wow. I would say exposure. I think giving them the ability or the opportunity, to be exposed to the rest of the world and how technology can solve problems. A prominent university here in Houston that I've collaborated with did a three-month program with 8 of the 10 of their students, and the students came in to work on a project. So their job was to go through part of our 5 steps, and the resounding unified comment to me was that, wow, I never realized how much of the rest of the world could benefit from great ideas, innovative ideas that could help drastically change their lives. And because we had them do a lot of research on needs globally, and I think young people today, and even some older people today, need to be aware of how other people are lives are, how other people are trying to survive outside of their own small community of circle of friends and family. I'm sure social entrepreneurship would explode. It's just if people were educated and became more aware of the needs out there. And not only just the needs outside of the U.S., but even the needs within the U.S. So there are hundreds of thousands of needs worldwide. And it's not just, again, in where I'm from in West Africa, but also here in Houston.
Right. And I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because I think that people, like you said, tend to think of that as, you know, otherworldly almost. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are so many opportunities. I think you mentioned education. And I want to come back in a few minutes and talk about more of the specific projects that Fruition is involved in. But, you know, from even education, food, all those things, I think there are opportunities that are just right under people's noses that are not being explored. So, you know, hopefully after hearing this, people will begin to think a little bit more specifically about their own communities, right? So, yeah, and so now I wanted to just ask a little bit about the specific projects. Now, you mentioned the project that you're working on that will assist pregnant women. So let's start with that one. Talk a little bit about that, where it is in the process, and what is coming up in the near future for that project.
Okay. Some of these I just have to be very light because they're under NDA.
This particular
project is for pregnant women. And in the U.S., it will help pregnant women that are high risk, have high risk pregnancies, just because there are many, many women that once they get pregnant, they develop either high blood pressure and unless they go to the doctor, they wouldn't know that they have high blood pressure, or they some sort of their sugar levels can change. They can have other complications with their baby. Then you look at third world countries where they won't go to the doctor if it's difficult, if the hospital is too far. And just the means of getting there and spending money to pay a doctor, unless they're feeling, you know, some sort of major pain, they may just totally avoid going to the hospital until the baby's ready. So this product, which is a technology in a form of some sort of wearable that will help alert the pregnant mom that, hey, there may be some issues with your blood pressure or with a few other things that are going on with the baby. Our advice or the suggestion is to go see a doctor. The entrepreneur behind this, her sister unfortunately lost two babies, had no idea that something was wrong. And it was days, maybe even weeks before she realized that the baby had passed in her. So it's going to hopefully just bring, help save a lot of babies and in some cases save the mom as well, because there are situations where the mom equally passes away as well. Another product we launched, we launched earlier this year, called Desphonics, and this helps, it's geared towards children from 3 years old all the way up to first grade, but it gets them to the first grade reading level. And the entrepreneur behind this has been a teacher for about 16 years, and he developed it to help children where English is not their first language, so English is their second language. They either have dyslexia or some sort of learning, reading disability. And this program is really, we've seen a 64% increase in their reading abilities by using this opposed to the traditional way of learning how to read. Unfortunately, they've had students all the way in the fifth grade because this, you know, literacy is a huge problem in the U.S. Despite what people think, the percentages are very high all the way into the adulthood. So this program can help any age, but it's geared to get children to the first grade reading level. And then there are a few others. We launched one in regards to security, launched that one about a month ago, which is a security platform, both software, mainly just software on your app and on online that protects large venues in case of a medical emergency, if a student's on a college campus and doesn't know and someone's following her or runs into trouble and doesn't know the security number to call. They could press this, the security, just press the button on their app. The security team will know who it is and where they're located on campus and rush to their aid. But this is for venues, stadiums, universities, high schools, airports. So that we just launched as well. And so this is not something that you would think is humanitarian, but it can make a huge social impact. In people's lives. It could save lives, actually.
You know, just to, so I have a couple of follow-up thoughts, but where it concerns the security product, I was thinking the other day, you know, I walk a lot in Herman Park, and, you know, if something happened where there was a medical emergency, I was thinking about the fact that, you know, you're right across the street from the medical center, but, you know, how easy would it be for people to locate you? You know, if someone managed to call 911, you know, how do you tell them where exactly you are in the park or where, you know, because it's pretty spread out, right? You know, you can't, it's hard to identify streets and, you know, if you say, well, I'm right in front of the Museum of Natural Science, you know, what does that actually mean? You know, so that's actually pretty interesting, and that seems very promising.
Yeah, because if you're outside, it'll give them a GPS location of where you're at, the security at least. 911 would be a little tougher, but at least you alert. Right. 911 will give you the GPS address, so it'll give you the corner of whatever plot of land you're on,
right?
Where this will actually give you the coordinates so that the security team could hopefully find you a lot sooner.
See, that's really, and though, you know, and especially in medical emergencies, those seconds count actually.
Yes, so, they do.
And I wanted to say that, you know, the other projects that you were talking about, and this may be the case of a lot of social entrepreneurship, and you kind of even alluded to it when you said that you went back home, and this is kind of what spurred your thinking. A lot of the people that create these products or come up with these ideas, they have some kind of personal experience that sways them to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it typically it does. There is a personal experience that does that. I call it their story. What is your story? Many will say, I don't really know. And then we start asking questions. And it can be when they were a child. And it's funny. The minute they hit that story, you see their face change. There's passion that comes out. There's almost an indignation that they want to change something that they desperately see that's wrong. And that is good for them to see. And it's good for everyone that comes in contact with them to know. Because it typically, those that believe in your mission will align to your project, your product. You know, I heard this great speaker, Simon Sinek, say that, you know, when Martin Luther King Jr. had his big talk at the White House front, 25% of the people there were white. Mm-hmm. And there was no cell phones, no internet, no, you know, TV or radio ads. People showed up because they believed in his mission, not necessarily him, but they believed in his mission. They believed in what he believed in. And it those that aligned to what he believed ended up showing up and making that travel time and taking that time to get out there. And that's what a mission really does. You will find out who is aligned to your mission, from your customers to your employees to your partners. And it really builds a very, very strong team.
I see. Yeah. So now you talked about some of the projects that you have launched and mm-hmm. have reached a certain stage in the process. Any projects around food?
Yes, this is funny. I never expected to work on food. I'm going to be honest with you. The name of the company is Fruition Technology Labs. and that name, eventually, I'm going to probably take out the word technology and labs, possibly. But yes, right now we're working on a health oil. This is eating oil. These oils have great health benefits. Someone else came in that we may take on their project that has to do with, certain foods that they make, cookies and pastries that are totally healthy, but have health benefits to them, specific health benefits. Yeah, there's a whole range of different food projects that we're looking at. Some we've started and some we're still considering. But yeah, food is a big one. And health, I guess for Fruition, it more comes from the health perspective. It's not just a great food idea, but it has significant health benefits. And that's what we're looking for, something significant. We're not looking just for cool ideas. We're looking for something that definitely could make a huge impact in the lives of men and women, children. Yeah.
Wow. So we've talked about the entrepreneurs that have seen fit to come in and try to work with you. What about your company itself? Now, I know that recently you always attract a lot of innovative people who want to come in and work with these entrepreneurs.
Yes, which is interesting. So, yes, we get, I meet men and women, or men and women come to my website, and they see what we're doing, and immediately they have a passion to contribute to this mission. I was at UT Austin 2 weeks ago, spoke to a class, an entrepreneurship class that the professor invited me to speak to. And one of the gentlemen there kept asking questions, and I was leaving, and he says, "Sir, one more minute," and he came and says, "Listen, this is my background, and I want to be part of Fruition in whatever way or capacity. I love what you guys are doing, and I want to be part of that mission." So we sat down with him, talked through some things, and signed him up, and now he's going to lead one of our projects. But yes, it's funny. They are there, and I don't need to do any selling to them. I don't need to convince them. When your mission is very clear, you will draw the right people to you, both your customers and your team members.
Now this is amazing because, you know, like I said, I see it among the young people that I have in class. You know, people are looking for something more purposeful, something mm-hmm. more meaningful. So it doesn't surprise me at all that you have people who want to come up, who want to work with Fruition in whatever capacity, you know, that they have available to them. So that, yeah. You know, it seems like it would bode well for you in terms of building the company.
Yes. Yes, it truly is amazing, and this happens quite often. So we've put a process in place to handle those requests. Yeah.
Well, that's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. So that shows that, you know, people are in agreement with what you're doing. That is probably quite. Satisfying to you?
It is. And in all honesty, about a year and a half ago, we were struggling financially. And so I started losing sight of my mission and said, trying to figure out, I need to figure a way to keep us going and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I started losing sight of my mission. And I have some good team members, including my supportive wife, says, "No, you need to stick to your mission." And I had to. And when I put everything else aside and I says, "Okay, regardless of everything that's going on, I need to stick to why I'm doing this. I need to remind myself." And it helped everything else fall in place. It became clear what I needed to address, what I needed to leave alone, because that mission, it becomes your focal point of everything you say and do. And it what drives you forward. It's what will eventually, if it's well laid out and you have a good plan behind it, it's what's going to help you succeed at the long end, long term. Mm-hmm.
Well, that speaks to the fact that you are able to work with entrepreneurs who are going through the same thing. I think you know, even those experiences are never wasted, right? Because you can perhaps talk someone through that kind of low point or, you know, or a focus or losing focus of a mission.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. Well, so tell me now, what's next on the horizon for Fruition? What's happening in the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and 5 years?
So we are, the next 60 to 90 days, we are looking to launch two more companies, hopefully. One is on track. The fourth one, possibly, we're working hard with them, and possibly a fifth one. But that's one of the things we're focusing on. We are also focusing on building partnerships. So that is one of our core values. Building strategic partnerships this is something I didn't mention earlier. Some of our partnerships are with nonprofit organizations, just because they're, for the most part, aligned with the same mission. Even though we're not a nonprofit, a lot of nonprofit organizations make some of our best partners because we have that same mission mindset in mind. So we're building some healthy partners right now. We are planning to bring a little bit more awareness to technology that could create a social or civic impact, and highlighting that more. We're looking at more so promoting this during the Super Bowl time that's coming into Houston. We want to bring more awareness to the needs in our community, specifically in Houston, where technology could help advance and support and make an impact. I think 5 years from now, 10 years from now, we look to have satellite locations. That is our vision. We have our mission, and our vision is to see multiple areas worldwide with fruition, whether it's fruition run or not fruition run. And we're not looking to do franchises, but we want to see fruition duplicate itself where great minds around the world have a place where they can develop their idea into a business, where they can create a social or civic impact, and also share some of those ideas. So we may build a core technology here or a core product and send it to another country where they take it at another fruition satellite location, and their entrepreneurs take that core product and modify it and develop it for their community need, what their community needs. So that's something that's part of our vision. We don't feel that just because we build something that it's going to be adaptable to every person worldwide. And this is where we're going to rely on a global community to help take this technology and redesign it or retrofit it so it fits a need based on their social, their economic, their political ecosystem.
Well, it sounds like you have a lot on tap so far. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you feel? What do you feel that you have been really, really successful? What are some of the challenge areas that you're working on?
So the area that I feel we're doing much better on is our process that we have seen has become very, very valuable, so to speak. So I've met with I've had some really well-educated entrepreneurs come in, and just to see the five steps totally refine their idea, totally refine it, and help it rebuild it so that it has much more value and is much more competitive. The five steps I'm extremely excited and proud of. And again, even though I put it together, I've had many experienced men and women look at it and tweak it here and there. But that is probably biggest things I'm proud of, as well as our team. I have a solid core team now, great men and women, team of men and women, plus our team of collaborators and venture leads. I've seen that dramatically change over the past year. Investment and the financial aspect of things are still a challenge. It is a challenge, partially, I would say, because of where Houston is in regards to the support of entrepreneurs, but more so just the support of social entrepreneurs. So we're still working on that we have an initiative where someone now is totally assigned to building those relationships, finding the right investors for these types of businesses. Yeah.
So if there are any entrepreneurs out there who are maybe thinking about this, mm-hmm. what do you think that they should do first from their standpoint? And how do they move in a direction to get ready to come to a fruition?
My advice is to write out your story and write out your mission. And your mission is not what are you going to do, but it's why are you doing what you want to do. That is the biggest thing. This is where I see, and I've seen several teams come in and split up because one partner had a clear mission, the other partner had a different mission, and it doesn't last when it comes when it gets down to the hard times, if they have dividing missions, it doesn't work. Plus, if an entrepreneur does not clearly know what their mission is, no story behind their mission, why they're doing what they want to do, it makes things far more difficult. Because I've had many people come in here, they tell me what they wanted to do. We sat down, I heard their story, we came up with their mission, and the idea they brought in was not the idea that they really had a passion to do. It was just a great idea. So this is what I suggest to people. Know what that is. Know what that is. Write it out. Communicate it to others. Make sure that you're solid on it. I mean, we can help you with that, but I like for people to come in and know what that is ahead of time.
Well, you know, it's not easy. And so I would think that they need to be prepared and have it clear in their minds what they really want to do and why they want to do it. I don't know. I think the why is really the why is what sustains you, right?
Yes, it is. It's what sustains you, what keeps you going, what builds your partnerships. It what helps you be very competitive, because when you know that why, it's a lot harder for a competitor to have the same why. But still, because it's coming from within, you'll be a whole lot better at being competitive. Everyone knows of Chick-fil-A. And Chick-fil-A, everyone knows they have a mission. That is very clear that these guys are mission-focused. In 2012, they surpassed revenue of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Kentucky Fried Chicken's mission was all over the place. And it's funny, Chick-fil-A has less than half the number of stores as KFC does. And it's just another great chicken restaurant. But they have a clear mission. The customers, most of their customers support their mission. And they don't even have to do that much marketing. It's just they market their mission, market who they are, the why behind why they're in business. And your customers normally come. You end up beating out your competitors whose mission is cloudy. And the funny thing, in regards to store by store, Chick-fil-A has actually beat out McDonald's in revenue. Yeah.
So now that entrepreneurs have been told to write out their story, to shore up their mission and the reason why they're doing what they're doing, where would they go to find out information about Fruition specifically?
So they can go to our Facebook page, which will give them a link to our website. But our website is the best place. It's Fruition Tech, T-E-C-H, Labs, that's with an S, .com. And under, you can look at our homepage, and there's a people page for the inventors and entrepreneurs to click on, which gives them a little bit more information.
Good. And is there information about some of the specific projects that you guys are working on?
I've put on limited projects. The ones that we're launching, you'll be able to see, but those that are in the works, some are under provisional patent right now and
right.
VA. The closer they get to launch, we get it out there. But right now we're working on 12, 13 different projects right now. And it looks like we may bring in another 4 in the next month or so. And depending on at the stage of each project is when we let it open to the public.
Right. Well, based on what you've told me about just the sheer volume of projects that you guys have been involved in, it seems like things are speeding up and that they're growing. And that's got to be a good feeling.
Yes, it is. It is a good feeling. It's a very good feeling. There's a lot of work to do.
And a lot of problems to solve, I'm sure.
Yes, a lot of problems to solve.
So that's good. So for entrepreneurs out there, when you see a problem that you're passionate about, Fruition is an outlet to learn more about getting involved in this type of social good entrepreneurship. Well, Wesley Okeke, I want to thank you tremendously for taking the time out. I know that you're very busy, you know, saving the world, hopefully, or at least making it a little bit better. And we wish you all the success. We will be paying attention. And in the future, when you have a specific project that you want to share, please feel free to come back and talk to us again.
Definitely. And my gratitude to you, Dr. Wyatt, for having me on this call. Very much appreciated.
Okay, well, we'll be paying attention to fruition and finding out all the good things that you guys are doing over there. And we expect big things. So thank you.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it. And we will talk to you soon.
Thank you again. You too. Take care.
Join us next time for Circular Stories. See you then.
Circular Stories is produced by me, Rosalind Wyatt, and you can contact me at phone number 832-463-0587. You can email me at info@circularstories.com, and you can follow me on Twitter @CircularRoz.